I'm not sure what's going to happen now. This guy's been missing for a little while, and I didn't think we'd have anything today. But when we arrived here at the church, a video has landed on our desk. So, boys and girls, it's time. It's time for Agent Blue. G'day, boys and girls. Secret Agent Blue, hashtag rockstar, reporting to you live from Fraser Island. That's right, boys and girls. I snuck onto a four-wheel drive just to check out what Pastor Donnie gets up to on Fraser Island. What's that, boys and girls? You've never been to Fraser Island? Well, let me show you around the place a bit, boys and girls. I'm currently up on what Pastor Donnie calls Optus Hill. It's the only place that his Optus phone works. All the other guys get to talk to everybody on Telstra down in the hut, which, by the way, that's the hut over there. So that's Fraser Island, just this little part of it. Pastor Donnie's over here on a pastor's retreat. And there's lots of amazing things on this island. Dingoes, sea snakes, birds, Brahmi kites, no fish. Haven't seen Pastor Donnie catch a fish, so don't believe all these stories. But Pastor Donnie has been getting up to some prayer. Seen praying with a couple of these pastor type blokes. Also reading this book. It's about an inch thick. I think it's called the Bible. And they've been having sharing times. Sharing times, boys and girls, where pastor will take a turn to pray and to share a bit about his life, his family, his church. Some interesting things that I've heard them talk about, boys and girls. One pastor hasn't had a holiday in 5 years. Another pastor's been at the one place for 17 years and has 40 people in his church. Pastor Donnie was very good. He said how good Kiwana life was, how good the people were, how they were kind to one another, how they loved one another, how they encouraged one another. He talked about KL Kids. He talked about Pastor Panda. He talked about how good they've been doing things. He didn't once mention Agent Blue at all. Very disappointing. Well, boys and girls, it's getting a bit cold up here on Optus Hill. Hope you have a good time back home in sunny Sunshine Coast. This is Agent Blue. Be kind to one another. Love one another. Care for one another. And boys and girls, be good to your parents. This is Agent Blue, signing out from Fraser Island. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, as we open your word today, I ask, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit would enlighten it to us. You would quicken it to us. That we would see the truth that it is, and we would let that truth bring about some more transformation in our lives. We thank you, Lord God, that we can gather together here in this place and further afield. I thank you for those that are watching all over the place and still tuning in. I ask, Lord God, that you too would bless them, that your Holy Spirit would work in their lives and minister to them at this time and in this place and at their place. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, folks, today is the end of our series of in Ephesians chapter 1, where we've been looking at every blessing in Christ Jesus. Every blessing in Christ. I'll let you know these dollar bills are still in the Bible. I can't find them. Oh, there's one, the $2 bill. There's the $10 bill. They're still in there. So they're in Christ, in the Bible. You're still in Christ. You might have had a tough week, but you're still in Christ. And in Christ, according to Ephesians, we have every blessing. Let's just have a look at that verse again. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And at the end of this passage, verses 13 and 14, we get to our topic today. And this is what these verses are. I'm going to read two versions, one from the New King James and then another one from the Message. So if you go have your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 to 14. In him who you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to his praise and his glory. That's from the New King James. And from the Message it says, it is in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed it, this message of your salvation, you found yourselves at home, free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. This signet from God is the first installment on what's coming, a reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life. So this first installment, this first sealing of the Holy Spirit is a promise in each of our lives. Now, if you've put your hand up and you said, Jesus Christ, I accept you as my Lord and Savior, please take away my sin, then you are sealed. You have that first installment of the Holy Spirit. And this is what I want to go through for a little bit at the moment here. I don't know about you, but are we happy with just one installment? Are we happy with just something at the beginning? I wonder if Cynthia would have been happy with just an engagement ring. Just an engagement ring. No marriage, no wedding, no husband, no kids. Hold on, I better stop there. I think the engagement ring is the promise of what's to come. And it's good. It is very good. Would have I been happy with just paying my deposit on a car and walking away and go, there you go, I've paid a deposit on a car, woohoo, but not have the car? I think I would have wanted to invest in and to get the car. You see, what we're looking at today is the promise, the potential, the possibility, what might be for us and for the church today, for you and for me. So I don't want us to stop at the beginning. I don't want us to stop at chapter 1. But I want us to read through to the end, to grab hold of all that God has in store for you and for me as followers of Jesus Christ. As a young boy growing up in the Presbyterian Church, I often heard the Father, yes, God the Father, I often heard about the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the third part of the Trinity in the Presbyterian Church, I was sure was the Holy Scriptures. Now, some of you guys might have known what I'm talking about. The Holy Scriptures. But in an era of the King James Version, which I've found out this week is also called the Authorized Version, I thought there were two versions, but they're apparently the same, then there was the RSV, the Revised Standard Version. So even back then, when I was little, they had revised the King James Version. But in those copies, and all my preachers in the younger days when I was listening about God, never used the Holy Spirit. If they used a term, it was this. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. Now, as a young guy growing up on black and white TV, the only ghost I knew about was Casper the Friendly Ghost. And I wasn't sure whether he was talking about a holy Casper. My first Bible that I got was a Good News Bible. And in the Good News Bible, they had little drawings. And sometimes the drawings of the Holy Ghost was a very badly drawn Casper. So I wasn't real sure what they were talking about. The Holy Ghost. A little bit later, the Good News changed from Holy Ghost to the Holy Spirit. A little bit easier to understand for those of us not sure that, you know, ghosts are what haunt us. Yes, I'm praying for the Holy God ghost to come and haunt me. It wasn't quite that terminology. Let me give you an example from A.W. Tozer in the way that this wording was used. We may as well face it. The whole level of spirituality among us is low. We have measured ourselves by ourselves until the incentive to seek higher plateaus in the things of the spirit is all but gone. We have limited the world. We've sought popular favour. We've manufactured delights to substitute for the joy of the Lord and produced a cheap and synthetic power to substitute the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is A.W. Tozer. This wasn't written last week. This was written a long time ago. And so we as a church I think we've forgotten a bit about the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through us. So who is this forgotten God? This promise or the blessing talked about in Ephesians chapter 1. Well, my challenge to all of us and all of you this week is to read the book of Acts. Now, one of the first things I do when I get a Bible is I read the book of Acts and I go through and highlight a whole bunch of passages. Now, if you don't highlight passages, I understand, but just go through. I'm a chronic highlighter. Even on my tablet, I highlight all through my tablet. Not with a highlighting pen, just a proper, you know, don't worry about it. So what I want you to do is grab hold of the book of Acts this week and go through and highlight every time the Holy Spirit is said. There's the first page, and you can see the pink for the Holy Spirit. I didn't have a red highlighter, so I wanted the fire stuff. So go through, and you'll find out that, as we might know the Acts of the Apostles, some may say it's actually the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because remember, we've got a people here in the early church who haven't studied the Holy Spirit, haven't got a theology of the Holy Spirit, but they've got an outworking and a living of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want to take us to. I want to take us to a place where we have an outworking and a living of the Holy Spirit working in and through us, the power of the Holy Spirit, not some cheap and synthetic power used as a substitute, as A.W. Tozer said. So that's my challenge to you, to go through and highlight that. The Holy Spirit, blessing, gift, promise, installment, no matter what terminology you use, it is important to know that you have the Holy Spirit. And that's just the start. Do you want more? Well, God will give you more. Today, I want to share with you something from one of my devotions over the last few weeks. It's by a guy called Angus Buchan. He's a potato farmer guy and just an amazing guy. Some of you know him very well, have read some of his stuff. He tells a story about a guy called Robert Murray McShane. Now, if I've said McShane's name wrong, I apologise. He's with the Lord, and I'll probably have to shake his hand when I get up there. He's a Scottish preacher who received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he had a desire in his heart to see revival in Scotland. A desire in his heart. That's all he wanted to see, a revival in Scotland. I wonder for you and for me, when we prayed before, did anyone pray for a revival in our country, in our state, in our community? This guy, Robert Murray McShane, wanted a revival in Scotland, and he prayed into that. When he was away on a mission of inquiry into Palestine, a revival broke out in his church in Dundee, Scotland. That's not Crocodile Dundee, that's Dundee, the place in Scotland, in 1839. So it's a couple of years ago. Anyone there? No? Okay. This guy, a young guy, hear this, W.C. Burns. I don't even know his first name, whether it's Warren, William, Wazza, but it's W.C. Burns. He was 24 years old, and he came in to take over the pulpit while McShane was over in Palestine. And on the 23rd of July, about, you know, coming up very soon, there was a great revival that took place. All Scotland heard the glad news that the sky was no longer brass. The Spirit in mighty power began to work in that day and in many places in that land. The truth pierced the hearts in an overwhelming manner. Tears were streaming down the eyes of many, and some fell on the ground groaning and weeping and crying for mercy. Services were held every night of the week for many, many weeks, often lasting into the early hours of the morning. The whole town was moved. The fear of God fell upon the ungodly. Anxious multitudes filled the churches. Can I hear an amen? Yeah, mate. In November that year, McShane came back to his church in St. Peter's in Dundee, and he viewed the unforgettable scene. His desire had been received. And so he went in and he continued. In worship, the people felt that they were praising a present God. Did you hear that? God was actually in their presence, and they felt that. And I think that's really important. Sometimes we miss that opportunity of realizing that God is indeed in our presence. The Word of God tells us that. Where two or three gather together, He is there. God inhabits the praises of His people. So if we're not sensing the presence of God here, that's our fault. We need to be aware that God's presence. But these people worshipped. So when they worshipped, when they sang, it was because they sensed it. And they didn't just let that happen. Here we go. Such an anxiety prevailed upon the people that heard the gospel that when he was preaching in the open air in the meadows of Dundee, under a heavy rain, the crowd stood still. They did not move away. The word was listened to the very end in an awful and breathless stillness. Could you imagine that? Being out in a meadow, it's bucketing down rain, but you don't move because the guy is preaching under the power of the Holy Ghost and something significant is happening. The Christian's life is something I just want to share a little bit more in the spirit stuff. This is from a guy I believe passed away yesterday, J.L. Packer. A great theologian. I read some of his books when I was at Bible college, mostly because I had to, because he was a great theologian. And this is what he says about the Christian life. The Christian's life is all aspects intellectual and ethical, devotional and relational, upsurging in worship and ongoing in witness, in supernatural. Only through the Holy Spirit can we imitate, initiate and sustain it. So apart from him, not only will there be no timely believers and no lively congregations, there will be no believers and no congregations. Do you hear that? All done supernaturally through the Spirit. If we try to do it ourselves, then we'll end up with no believers and no congregations. It has to be a God-based thing. Robert McShane. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, apart from when I mentioned him earlier today. But his heart's desire was to have a revival in Scotland. He died at the age of 29. But he had seen his heart's desire. He's continued to be remembered all through Scotland. He considered himself an adoring spectator, watching what God was doing. He was not in control. God was in control. And he was merely God's instrument at that time. I wonder how many of us want to be God's instrument at this time and in this place and in this way. As Angus Buchan said, he wants to be an adoring spectator. He wants to stand back and let the Holy Spirit move in everything that he does. And I pray that for us, for you and for me. Just as I stand on the beach and I see the sand getting blown down the beach by a gust of wind, I want to be able to see the Holy Spirit moving in God's people's lives. We cannot comprehend the things that God has got prepared for us who love him. You see, our God is a big God, and he's got some amazing things in place for you and for me. A couple of the books that you may want to do some extra research in. This one is Forgotten God by Francis Chan. If you go on to the Play Store, that one's actually free at the moment. You can download it for free. It's quite a good book. Another one, Brian Willisdorf gave me this one, Word, Spirit and Power. A couple of great authors, C.T. Kendall, Charles Cann and Jack Taylor. They have a lot of quotes in there from other great people. And as I was reflecting a little bit this morning, I turned to this page and it has a little bit from a guy called Charles Haddon Spurgeon. You might have heard of him. Amazing guy. And one of the guys on our retreat said that he was staring at me. He goes, "Donnie, do you know who you remind me of?" And I went, "Who?" Jeff Bullock. One of the guys on the retreat, who's actually here today, said Benny Hill. Yeah, they laughed too. They thought it was funny. And he said, no, in all seriousness, I think you look like Charles Spurgeon. And I went, wow. I actually thought he had a beard, but anyway. Here we go. This is what he says. Death and condemnation be to the church that is not yearning after the Spirit. He doesn't mess about, does he? And crying and groaning until the Spirit is wrought mightily in her midst. He is here. He has never gone back since he descended at Pentecost. He is often grieved and vexed for the peculiar jealousies and sensitivity to one sin never forgiven has to do with this blessed person. Therefore, let us be tender towards him, walk humbly before him, wait earnestly on him, and resolve that there should be nothing knowingly continued that would prevent him from working in our midst. Brethren, if you do not have the Spirit of God, it would be better to shut the churches, to nail up the doors and put a black cross on the front saying, God, have mercy on us. If your ministers have not the Spirit of God, then you better not preach. You people who stay at home, you people who stay at home. This is Spurgeon. He knew coronavirus. I think and I speak not too strongly. Really? He looks pretty strongly to me. That when I say that the church in the land without the Spirit of God is rather a curse than a blessing. This is a solemn word I speak today via the Holy Spirit. It has to be the Holy Spirit or nothing. Because worse is nothing. Do we understand the importance of the Holy Spirit? God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with us here today. And he wants to do more in our lives. More in our lives than we could ever dream or imagine. More than we can dream or imagine. We have received the gift of the Holy Spirit when we repented, when we became a child of God. If you have not repented today, if you have not said, yes, oh, Lord Jesus, I give you my life, then I'll give you that opportunity right now to give your life to Jesus. To say, yes, I want to follow you, Jesus. Yes, Jesus, can you please come into my life and take away all my sin? Because that was done on the cross for you and for me. And the Holy Spirit will come. The first installment, that sealing that we've talked about. Ask his Spirit today and every day to work through you, through me, so that we can be that channel of God's love, mercy, grace to all in our community today. You will be adoring and amazed at what God can do. Let's pray that prayer, each and every one of us, each and every day, that we might be filled anew with the Holy Spirit and be aware of what he's wanting to do. Let's pray. Dear Lord, fill me today with the power, with the dynamite of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I welcome you in my life. Inspire me to serve Jesus Christ with all my heart. Amen.